From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. Immigration reform and boosting the U.S. economy were major topics during U.S. President Donald Trump's first State of the Union address since he took office more than a year ago. But he also talked about North Korea and the ongoing tension between it and the U.S.
No regime has oppressed its own citizens more totally or brutally than the cruel dictatorship in North Korea. North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear missiles could very soon threaten our homeland. We are waging a campaign of maximum pressure to prevent that from ever happening.
There was mixed reaction to the speech from members of Congress. U.S. Senator Jeff Flake, a member of Mr. Trump's own party, has been critical of the president's behavior.
People in the gallery, that's all, you know, rah-rah, good American, you know, ingenuity and heroism, and that's good. That's unifying.
And Democratic Senator Ben Cardin from the state of Maryland is still on the fence about compromising with the president.
We have a bipartisan group in Congress that want to deal with issues. We got to get the budget done. We got to get opioid funding. We got to get the immigration issue done. I think there's a bipartisan spirit to get this accomplished, and I would hope that the president would help that make that a reality.
Mr. Trump also revealed a new executive order during his State of the Union address. It cancels a 2009 order in which former President Barack Obama promised to close the Guantanamo Bay facility in Cuba. The order preserves military detention as a counterterrorism tool by keeping the prison open. Mr. Trump said during his campaign that he wanted to keep Guantanamo open and loaded up with some bad dudes. This is VOA News. A list of major Russian businessmen published by the U.S. Treasury Department does not mean the elite will be subject to sanctions, but could foretell those most at risk if new sanctions arose. Matthew LaRotondo with Reuters reports.
A list of the Russian business elite drawn up by the Trump administration may foretell who would be targeted if Washington did levy new sanctions. The so-called oligarchs list includes names like the mining magnates Vladimir Potanin and Oleg Deripaska, seen here with their president Vladimir Putin last year. Shares in both their companies tumbled after the U.S. Treasury Department named them. It also includes the cybersecurity giant Eugene Kaspersky, whose software has been banned from federal computers for fear of backdoors to Russian spies. He hit back on Twitter, denying involvement with the government, and saying the list seems to have just been ripped from Forbes.
Afghanistan wants the U.S. government to stop deporting Afghan nationals, saying it has no repatriation agreement with the United States. When VOA asked U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement if the United States has such an agreement, a spokesman, Brendan Rady, provided a written response saying international law obligates each country to accept the return of its nationals ordered removed from the United States. The United States itself routinely cooperates with foreign countries and documenting and accepting its citizens when asked. Pakistan has disclosed it recently extradited 27 suspected Taliban and Haqqani militants to Afghanistan as part of an effort to stop insurgents from using Pakistani soil for cross-border terrorist activities. There have been several attacks within a week, and these attacks have been addressed by President Trump.
In the past, the U.S. has not ruled out including the Taliban in possible peace talks. Asked why the Taliban is now claiming responsibility for the massacres, Michael Kugelman told VOA.
The Taliban wants to weaken the Afghan state in any way possible. And it wants to do that now by proving that the Afghan state cannot protect its people. It cannot protect security. And that includes civilians.
President Trump stepped up the U.S. military presence in the country with 11,000 American troops now stationed there.
That's Cindy Sane reporting for VOA. And the staffer in the U.S. state of Hawaii, who issued a January 13th warning of an incoming missile attack, has since been fired. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.